We're going to go back in to the book of Revelation again. We've been in the book of Revelation, but more importantly, we're in the middle of a series on the eyewitness. We're going to look in the book of Revelation more, not on the wrath side of things, but though we're going to show you a few things. We're going to look more on the witness side. Where we've been looking at is the two witnesses and 144,000. This is God's plan during that 7-year time frame, his plan of salvation. It's a very unique time, and we're looking at that from that aspect. But I'm going to go back into some time frames to help you understand the book of Revelation. We have to understand the time frames. So the way we're going to understand that is it's a 7-year period. It's Daniel's 70th week of years. Now, this is going to be day one right here, this post. I'm going to do a lot of walking today right here. If those of you listening by MP3, there's two posts in our facility here, and then there's a middle aisle. This is day one, year one, right there, right here in this middle aisle. This is Midway. Lots of things happen at Midway Point in the 7 years. Lots of things, very interesting things. And, of course, this is the 7th year, the final day right here. Lots of things happen on this day. Now, the interesting thing about the 7-year, what they would call tribulation or Daniel's 70th week, it is marked down to the day things are going to happen. Specific time frames are given. Those specific time frames are 1260 days, which is a Jewish calendar. It has 30 days a month in it. 1260 days, that's exactly 3.5 years. Or it's marked by 42 months, which is exactly 3.5 years. Or it'll read a time, times, and half a time. A time meaning 1 year, times is 2 years, half a time is a half a year, so 3.5 years. Whenever you see 1260 days, or 42 months, or a time, time, and half a time, it's specifically speaking about the 7-year program, 7-year tribulation. It's either going to speak about the first half or the second half. And so doing the math, you'll be able to find out a lot of things that are going to be happening. Amen. So I want to go back and look at day one. And if you would go to Daniel chapter 9, we'll be in the book of Daniel and the book of Revelation a lot today. We'll be going back and forth. Hallelujah. Now, this is not an exhaustive teaching by any means in the book of Revelation. We're just hitting major points in this book. Let's begin with the first day, that post over there. Hallelujah. The first half, there's a lot of happening. The four horsemen get released, all that. There's the release of the trumpet judgments. But over here, this final half, this is bad. Bad news. The good thing is we won't be here. Hallelujah. Unless you want to be here. All right, Daniel 9, verse 27. Now, this is speaking specifically here of the infamous Antichrist. Daniel saw this laid out, speaking of the 70th week. It's that final week of years, which is 7 years. I don't want to get too far in the weeks today. I want to get more into the 7 years. So he said, he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, or 1 week of 7 years. This is not 7 days. This is a week of years. He's going to confirm a covenant. We all know this. The Antichrist is going to strike a covenant. He's going to broker a covenant. He's going to be a world leader, probably alive in the earth today. I would most likely, with the time frame we're in, he's alive somewhere. I don't know if he knows who he is yet or not, but he'll soon find out. He's going to broker a peace treaty with Israel. That's a fact. When he does, and it's going to be with the Arab nations, the Palestinian nations, it's going to be a 7-year treaty. When that treaty is brokered, it will begin the 7 years. From that point on, there are times that are specifically marked. You're going to know what's going to happen during that time frame because it's marked by times. Amen? So he's going to broker the covenant or confirm it for many, for 1 week, and in the midst of the week, in the middle of the week, we're going to know this, he's going to do something right in the middle of that 7 years, or exactly 3.5 years, or exactly 42 months, or exactly 1260 days to the day, say the day. Not one day less, not one day more. When that treaty is signed, exactly 1260 days, he's going to break that treaty. So, when he brokers that treaty, now, there's going to be peace, but not in the world, only with him in Israel for 3.5 years. For 3.5 years, there's going to be a false peace in which he's going to break that treaty midway through. But the first 3.5 years, there'll be a false peace. The world is going to be full of tribulation. There's going to be wars because the four horsemen of the apocalypse gets loosed. The trumpet judgments gets loosed in the first 3.5 years. A lot of stuff's going to be happening. But with Israel and the Antichrist, there's going to be relative peace until that 3.5 year mark happens. That's when he says in the midst of the week, when he's talking about the midst of the week. And we'll look at it exactly in the scripture here today. He'll cause the sacrifice of oblation to cease. He's going to come in the midst of the week. I'm going to get into that as we move towards this. Now, let's look at what's going to happen. We've taught 2 or 3 messages on this. One of the messages we taught was the 2 witnesses of the book of Revelation. We know they have the anointing of Elijah and they have the anointing of Moses. They'll be able to stop the heavens from rain. They'll be able to call fire down, the Bible says. They'll be able to exercise all manner of plagues at will, the Bible says. It will for 3.5 years. These guys have some kind of power on their life. They can release plagues. They can turn rivers to blood, stop the rain. They can do a lot. I mean, for 3.5 years, they actually stop the progression. Their ministry is in the first 3.5 years because it tells us exactly how many days they're going to minister. And I'm going to, again, prove it to you mathematically. But I want you to go over to Revelation chapter 11, keeping your finger in Daniel. Praise the Lord. Now, these 2 witnesses are going to be God's spokespersons with mighty signs, miracles, and wonders for 3.5 years. They are going to do it. The final 3.5 years, God is going to loose a wave of evangelists. 144,000 Jewish evangelists are going to get set loose exactly midway through, and they are going to be something, super witnesses for God. You could imagine 144,000 Apostle Pauls. That's the way it's going to be. They're going to get loose for 3.5 years. They have a very specific message they've been given because of their ministry. Because the final 3.5 years, you don't get a choice. Revelation chapter 11, verse 3. Let's look at the timing of these 2 witnesses. He says, I'll give power to my 2 witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days or 1,260 days. So we know they are not going to prophesy 1,261 days. They're not going to prophesy 1,259 days. They're going to prophesy exactly 1,260 days, which means they're either going to be here in the first half or here in the second half. There's no other choice because it's marked. When you see those markings, it's either going to be first half or second half, exactly 3.5 years. We know mathematically there's no possible way for them to be in the second half. So they have to be in the first. Why is that? Because something very interesting happens over here in year 7. The final day is when the Antichrist, he rallies the nations of the East, the kings of the East, and he marches, and he's going to go to war with the Lord himself in the battle. How many of you ever heard the Battle of Armageddon? Raise your hand. Have you heard the term? That day, that final 7th year, to the exact day, the Lord's going to come down in the Battle of Armageddon. He's going to take the prophet, the false prophet, and the Antichrist, and he's going to throw them, the Bible says, alive in the lake of fire. He's going to pick them up alive. He's going to defeat their armies in a split second. He's going to be riding on a white horse with 10,000 times 10,000. We're going to be in that army, hallelujah. We get to ride with him to battle. 10,000 times 10,000 of his saints. He's going to obliterate those armies in 1 second. And that final day, when he does, he's going to take the Antichrist and the false prophet. He's going to throw them, the Bible says, alive in the lake of fire. They don't even die. They just go straight to the lake of fire. Okay, so let's just look at the 2 witnesses for a minute. Let's say they were second half. They can't be second half because their ministry is how long? 1,260 days, which means their ministry would stop right here. The Bible says on the 1,260th day, they die on the street where Christ was crucified, right? If they died right here, then their 3.5 days later, now they're up into where the Lord's already come and taken over. See, on this final day, exactly to the day at the 7th year, he comes into the battle of Armageddon that day. The Bible says 3.5 days later that they're raised from the dead. It says their enemies behold them. What enemies? The Lord's already obliterated the enemies. You see that? Then they're raised from the dead and the whole world's watching them. So the Lord's going to come back on the day in the battle of Armageddon. He's going to defeat the enemies, but leave those two witnesses laying on the street dead. And then 3.5 days later, everybody's going to be watching them. No, the math does not work. So we know the two witnesses. Why is that important? Because we're going to understand God's evangelistic time frame. This is his witnesses. These two are going to do God's job for 3.5 years. They're going to be given such a power and such authority. In fact, when they die and they're crucified, they lay on the streets for 3.5 days. And the Bible says the whole world watches them. And then God raises them from the dead. Oh, hallelujah. In front of the world. And then they ascend into heaven in a cloud. Is that glorious or what? Getting ready for the second half. God's second half plan is the 144,000 witnesses. Now, something happens with 144 that's very interesting. You find those in chapter 7, chapter 14. Something happens with these 144. This is the time that they are brought into the kingdom of God, because the Bible says they're first fruits. Say first fruits. In chapter 14, he calls them first fruits. They could not be first fruits of our dispensation. You and I are not first fruits. Do you understand what I mean? We are born again on somebody who started this 2,000 years ago. We are not first fruits. We're latter fruits. So they can't be born again in our dispensation and be called first fruits. They're first fruits because it's a brand new dispensation. The church age is over now. The bride is up with Christ in heaven. There's a new dispensation. It's Daniel's 70th week. He's going to fulfill his week and his promise and his plan for the Jews. It's that one final 7-year week, a week of 7 years. He's going to come in. He's going to raise them up again. Now, this is time those 144,000 are getting trained. They're getting equipped for their ministry in the final 3.5 years. Amen? Let's look now at the pivotal events, major events of Midway. This is the Battle of Midway here. This is huge right here. What's going to happen in exactly 1260 days, exactly 42 months, exactly 3.5 years in? The Bible marks it specifically. Go to Revelation chapter 12. Now, Revelations 12 and 13 are the pivotal chapters of the midway events of the book of Revelation. This is midway. It's halfway in, okay? Lots of things are happening halfway in. Major events happening halfway in. Let's look at the first one. This one's very interesting. Revelations chapter 12. Before I get into this, look at me. How many of you know the Bible calls the devil the prince of the power of the air, right? Book of Ephesians says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, and the rulers of the darkness of this age, and spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. Okay, there is a third heaven we know because Paul got caught up into the third heaven, right? There is a second heaven where the present accuser of the brethren dwells. Him and all the demonic armies of heaven, they dwell there. They dwell down there too. But his rulers, his princes, his spiritual wickedness in heavenly places, they all rule from the second heaven. It's very common knowledge. But you have to understand, because something's going to happen. The prince of the power of the air, spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. Now listen, before the devil's final judgment, where he's going to be bound for 1,000 years, because when God throws the false prophet and the Antichrist alive in the lake of fire, he's going to take the devil and he's going to bind him for 1,000 years. Now before he does that, he's going to empty the second heaven. Get them ready for the final judgment. He's going to total, by Michael the archangel, he's going to totally empty the second heaven. He's going to throw them all down into the earth. That's when you don't want to be here. Could you imagine every demonic principality, power, and the devil himself, the accuser of the brethren, God completely empties the second heaven and throws them all down into the earth. And they get to rule for 3.5 years, the Bible says. That's when the devil possesses the Antichrist in his body. Now let's watch what happens here. Revelation chapter 12, verse 7. And there was a war in heaven. This is second heaven. We're not talking about where God dwells. This is the second heaven where the principalities dwell. And Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. And the dragon fought and his angels. Now the dragon has angels. They're just not the nice angels. Those are the principalities and the powers, the spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. Those are ruling class spirits that rule over nations. They're not the little inkling devils you cast out of people. These ones are rulers. Did you know every one of those rulers are going to get cast down into the earth? I couldn't even imagine how horrible that's going to be. Now watch what happens here. And prevailed not, verse 8, and neither was their place found any more in heaven. He empties the second heaven because he's getting them ready for their judgment. No more are they going to be able to ever access that place anymore. Verse 9, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world, and he was cast into the earth, and his angels were cast with him. You see that? He's cast down into the earth, and his principalities are cast down with him into the earth. This happens exactly 1260 days in, and I'll show it to you. Verse 12. Therefore rejoice, you heavens and you that dwell in them, woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. And the dragon saw that he was cast into the earth, persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. That's Israel. Israel's the woman, the man-child's Christ. He persecuted. Now he gets cast down and says, woe to the inhabitants of the earth. Never has been a time like this. They all rule from the second heaven. Now everything's been emptied. Final 3.5 years. Emptied. Now they're down in the earth. You do not want to be here. And the Bible actually calls that time the Great Tribulation. The witnesses of God have to have a special seal on their forehead. The 144,000 are given a special seal for that final 3.5 years because it's life or death. You don't get a choice whether you get to choose Jesus and keep going about your life. You either choose the Lord and die or take the mark of the beast. There's no other choice. There's two choices. You can choose the Lord and die. In fact, the Bible says during this time, this 3.5, it says, blessed are those who die in the Lord from his time henceforth. Because there's no other choice. You don't get to say, well, I'll wait. The devil's going to enforce his mark on humanity. You'll have to take his mark or die, period. There's a special 144,000 witnesses that are get sealed in their forehead with the mark of the Father in their forehead, and they're God's evangelist with that message, by the way. Anyway, and let's go to Revelation 13. Let's find out, how do we know that he gets cast down in this year? We know because there's relative peace going on with Israel up until the 3.5 years. So he could not be cast out before. It has to be now. The Antichrist is going to do something 3.5 years in that's very specifically defined in the Bible. Very specifically. Now, before we do that, let's look at the time the enemy gets to reign. I want you to go to chapter 13, verse 2. And then we're going to go to Daniel for a minute. If you never heard this before, I know it might be a little heavy, but it's going to be even heavier during the actual time. So you need to know this now. But if you're living for the Lord and you're hot for God, you'll be in heaven right during this time. God calls us to persecution. He does not call us to wrath. This is a time of God's wrath. Not a time of persecution. It's wrath. Verse 2, Revelation 13. And the beast, which I saw, was like a leopard, and his feet were the feet of a bear. These are nations, leopard and bear. Bear is Russia, by the way. and his mouth, the mouth of a lion. The dragon gave him his power. These are people that are aligned with him. The dragon gave him his power and his seat and his great authority. Now what happened in chapter 12? The devil gets cast down into the earth. Now what he does, he gives the Antichrist. The Antichrist is a man. But the devil now inhabits him and gives him his seat of authority. And he gives him his authority and his seat of authority. And he gets to reign for exactly 42 months. That's how we know the devil gets thrown down exactly midway. The heavens get emptied. And the first thing he does is he possesses in body, just counterfeiting God's plan, God in Christ, the Father in Christ, the devil in his Antichrist. Thrown down, he's given exactly 42 months. How do you know that? Verse 5. And he was given unto him a mouth, speaking great things, Revelations 13:5, and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. That started right here, midway, the exact day of midway, right here, 42 months. He was given to that pole right there. Exactly. His reign will end. The Antichrist and the false prophet will get thrown alive in the lake of fire. Then the devil will be thrown into a bottomless pit for 1,000 years, bound there. See, why does God let him do that? You ever ask that question? The Bible says after 1,000 years, he gets to get loosed again. And the Bible says he actually rounds the nations up for another war. Can you believe that? I'm thinking, why? Because he's got to fulfill God's original mandate. What was God's original mandate? That man must live the day in the garden. It was Adam and Eve. The day you eat from the tree of knowledge and good and evil, you will surely die. They didn't live out the day. Adam died 935 years. It was a millennial day. It was a 1,000, a day with the Lord. It's like 1,000 years. He didn't live out the day. So the last Adam is going to live out the day. He's going to take his bride, which is you and I. We're going to live and rule and reign with him for 1,000 years. At the millennial time frame, we're going to get to say rule and reign. We are his bride. Christ is the last Adam. We're going to rule and reign for 1,000 years. And after 1,000 years, the devil's going to get turned loose again. And when he does, the last Adam's going to do what the first Adam should have. He's going to throw him out of the garden. And he's going to throw him out in the lake of fire, the Bible says. And he'll be tormented forever and ever. That's going to be a good day. But they get 42 months. The devil's going to get what he wants. He's going to demand the nations worship him for 42 months. When he gets thrown down, I'm glad I'm not going to be here. Now, Daniel 7 says something very specifically. Go to Daniel 7 about this particular time frame here. This is not a message you want to roll your eyes at. This is one you want to plug in and say, oh my, this kind of fear of God thing, you don't want to be living your life just any way right now. Time is too short right now. Way too short. Don't want to be messing around with this season right here. I'm telling you, you don't want to be here. There's never been a time in human history where the devil has thrown down into the earth with all his ruling principalities. Won't be nice church like we know it now. Won't be anything like that. Daniel 7, verse 25. Now, this speaks of the 42 months, but watch what he says here. Very powerful scripture. He says, he shall speak great words against the Most High. This is the final 3.5 years Daniel sees this. And he shall wear out the saints of the Most High and think to change times and laws, and they shall be given unto his hand a time, times, and dividing of times. What's that? 3.5 years. It's the same thing that Revelation said, 42 months. This is speaking of this final 3.5 years. He was given rule. The Antichrist was. Now watch what happens, what Daniel saw. I love this scripture. Look at the next verse. Hallelujah. But the judgment shall sit. See that? Verse 26. And they shall take away his dominion. He gets 3.5 years exactly. In this final 7th year, this final day, Christ is going to come with 10,000 times 10,000 angels. He's going to take away his dominion that day, and a judgment's going to sit right there. Ooh, isn't that good? Hallelujah. Okay, well, now that you're in Daniel, go to Daniel chapter 9. Let's look what else happens midway through. This starts it all. Well, the devil gets thrown out first. That's what begins it. Heavens get emptied. He'll come down that day. When he comes down, he's going to possess the Antichrist that day. That day he is fully possessed. This is like the Father and the Son. This is the devil in his Antichrist, counterfeiting God's plan. Christ ministered 3.5 years. The devil will minister 3.5 years. And a false prophet will be added with them. It's like the Trinity thing. You understand. Okay, watch this. Daniel 9:27. All right. He shall confirm the covenant. We started this for 1 week. What'd he say? In the midst of the week. Say midst of the week. In the middle of the week. The same day the devil gets thrown out. Watch what's going to happen. The Antichrist is going to do something. He shall cause a sacrifice and oblation to cease for the overspreading of abominations. He'll make it desolate. That's a really fancy sentence for the abomination of desolation. He's going to walk into the temple in Jerusalem. They're going to restore that temple. They're going to rebuild it. They're going to begin sacrificing again. The animal activists are going to go crazy. They are going to sacrifice in that temple again. And the Antichrist is going to let them do it. He's going to be a world power. And he's going to actually broker the treaty. And part of that treaty arrangement is you get your temple and you get to have your sacrifices again. The reason he's going to do it, because he's going to walk in 3.5 years later and he's going to end the sacrifices. He stops them. He walks in and he declares himself God in that temple. He said, stop the sacrifices. I am the God you're sacrificing to. And it's called the abomination of desolation. He walks in exactly 1260 days, exactly 3.5 years. The day the devil's thrown out, he'll inhabit the Antichrist. He'll walk into that temple and stop the sacrifices. And he commits the abomination of desolation. Right there. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there be a falling away first, that the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Same guys Daniel saw, the Antichrist, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God and that is worship. This is the abomination of desolation right here. This is what he does. So that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Do you see that? That's what the abomination that Daniel saw. He walks in there and says, I am God. Stop the sacrifices. I'm God. He declares himself God in the midst of the week, exactly 1260 days in. Pretty crazy, huh? Go to Matthew 24, also speaks of this. Now, watch what happens here. Matthew 24, verse 15. When you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation, spoken of Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. Whoso readeth, let him understand. Then let them that be in Judea flee into the mountains. This is the time that Israel will flee. 3.5 years in, she's going to take off. When he commits the abomination of desolation, see, they were in a peace agreement the first 3.5 years. But he says, the day you see that, 3.5 years in, leave. Those that are in Judea, leave. Let's go in and get into this. Go to Revelation chapter 12. Because this is the same chapter the devil gets thrown out of heaven. It says he persecutes the woman, which is Israel. He goes after the woman who birthed the man-child. The reason why he hates Israel so much is because she birthed Christ. Israel's named the woman. She gave birth to the Christ, and that's why he hates her to this day. Because she gave the birth to the man-child. Israel brought forth Christ. Okay, Revelation chapter 12, verse 13. This is the devil. They had war in the heavens. He's thrown down. He's going to persecute the woman. In verse 13, and when the dragon saw that he was cast into the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. We saw that scripture. And the woman, which is Israel, was given two wings of a great eagle. Two wings of a great eagle. Now, some people think this might be America because actually Great Britain is spoken of in the Bible. It speaks of a lion. Great Britain, that is the terminology of their nation, a lion. It grows two wings. And then the wings are broken off. Two wings of an eagle. That's exactly what happened because we came out of Great Britain. The two wings of an eagle were broken off. And so when those two wings, which was the United States, some people think that we might be helping them. I don't know. Regardless, it's the wing of two great eagles going to help them flee. This is happening 1260 days in right here. And to the woman, verse 14, which is Israel, were given two wings of a great eagle that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place where she's nourished, what? A time, times, and half a time from the face of the serpent. When he's cast into the earth, that's when he gave them the commandment to leave. And the two great wings, they flee for 3.5 years. And God nourishes them and supernaturally protects them during this massive time of what's called the Great Tribulation. Okay, so Israel flees, right? Devil gets thrown down. Antichrist commits the abomination of desolation. Guess what else happens? Let's go back to those two witnesses for a minute. Remember those two witnesses? Remember how we proved they couldn't be in the second half? So that means they were in the first half, right? So when did their ministry start? The day that this peace treaty was signed. Because how many days? 1260 days. They have to start this exact day. They have to start midway through or this day. We know midway through doesn't work with the math. They have to start this day, which means what's going to happen? Exactly 1260 days they were given to witness, not 1261, not 1262, 1260, which exact midway point, right? So what happens that day? Devil gets thrown down that day. What else happens? Commits the abomination of desolation. Guess what else happens? That's the day they die. That's the day that their witness is over. And the Bible says that the Antichrist overrides them, overcomes them, because their witness is over. They were given 1260 days, and they said they were killed on the street where Christ was crucified. Now, this is wild, because they're like a type of Christ for the whole world to see. How long was Christ's ministry? 3.5 years. He gets crucified at the cross. What happens? 3 days later, he gets raised from the dead. They lay in the streets by commandment of the world power. Do not touch them. Keep them there. Because it says they tormented him for 3.5 years because they were given such extraordinary power to stop the rain and call fire down. In fact, it says if any man would try to hurt them, that man would die by fire. They had the power to call fire down. If you came against them, they could call fire down upon you. Man, that's incredible. They could shut the heavens. You can read about chapter 11. They could turn rivers to blood, cause plagues to come down. They were tormenting the Antichrist for 3.5 years. They were the ones keeping him in check. He could not do what he wanted to do until their days of witness was over. Now, I taught this message in fullness. You can go listen to it later. But kept him in check. So that 1260 days, their witness is over. God said, okay, give them up. And the Antichrist overrode them, and they died on the street, it says, where Christ was crucified. And they laid for 3.5 days at the commandment of the Antichrist, do not touch them. And all the world watched them on media. For 3.5 years, every tongue, tribe, and nation said, looked at their dead bodies for 3.5 days. 3.5 days later, something remarkable happens. Life comes into their bodies, and the whole world's watching them by their iPads, iPhones. In fact, scholars had to agree that until the media age happened, this verse could not have happened because all the world watches them. CNN, you know, stuff goes on in Israel. Everyone's eyes are glued. They're going to be there. These guys had power and authority. Now they died in the Antichrist. It says they send gifts to one another. We finally got rid of these nuisances. Until 3 days later. Christ was what? Raised the third day. The life of God comes into their body. And they're raised and they're standing on the street and the whole world watches them. They get a resurrection. Then they get taken up in a cloud in front of the world. Just like Christ. How did he ascend? He ascended in a cloud in front of the world. Now, Christ is over here with what? His 12 apostles, right? for 3.5 years. He dies, gets raised from the third day. Watch what happens here. They're preparing the 144,000 witnesses. That's part of their ministry too. The 144, they're preparing them. The 144 is 12 tribes. There's 12,000 Jews from 12 tribes. There was 12 apostles. There was 2 witnesses. So it's 12 times 12 now. So it's 12 times 12 is 144. Multiply it by 1,000. Why 144,000? I think it's signifying the level of harvest these guys are going to get this second half. Because now what happens after the 12? Christ ascends, the 12 watch him ascend, and then they get turned loose. The 144,000 gets turned loose in the second half. Their ministry is something powerful. Isn't that good? All that happens the same day, by the way. The devil gets thrown down in his fury. He kills the 2 witnesses, goes in and commits the abomination of desolation. All that in one day. That's a pretty eventful day. Thank God I'll be watching it from heaven. Yeah, amen. Let's look at what happens exactly right after Midway Point. There's some major, major events that are going to happen, I mean, within days after this, because now the devil's down into the earth. The principalities have been thrown. The second heaven has been completely, completely cleansed, and everything's been thrown down in the earth. Now you're dealing with the devil firsthand, principalities firsthand. There is a time such as never in the creation of man, this final 3.5 years. There has never been a time like that time. If you're serving God, you will not be here. You will be taken up. How do you know? There's a lot of reasons, but I'm going to give you a really good one right now. It's called imminence. The Bible says, I'll come as a thief in the night. You know if not when? Watch for me. Watch for me. Listen, you got pre-trib, which is Christ is going to come before the tribulation. You got mid-trib, which he's coming halfway through. You got pre-wrath, which is the final year. And then you've got a post-trib. He's coming after the tribulation. Those are your 4. And then you got the pan-trib. Pan is, it's all going to pan out. Now, I was a pan-trib for a long time until God started getting me into this book. And I realized we're not going to be here. I'll tell you one of the reasons why is because this is Daniel's 70th week. This is a week for God fulfilling his mandate with the Jews. The 144,000 were called first fruits. Could not have been part of our dispensation because they were first fruits of another dispensation. God started a new dispensation at the signing of that treaty. The church is going to be lifted out. The imminence factor. If he comes, and if I am a mid-trib person, Christ is going to come in the middle. I know when he's going to come because it's defined down to the day. I don't need to be looking for him. I already know he's coming. He's going to come right in the middle. There's no imminent factor. He's not going to catch me like a thief in the night because he's coming right in the middle. Because these days are marked. The final day is marked too. And if they're marked, there's nothing there to look for. You already know what's going to happen. He's going to come before all this starts happening. But he's also going to come for a glorious bride. She's going to get her demonstration. She's going to get her witness to the world. If God started the church with the eyewitness, he ends with 144,000 eyewitnesses. What do you think he's going to do with us? I'm telling you right now, the eyewitness is going to get restored. Events right after Midway. This is when it starts getting cranked up big time. All right? Go to Revelation chapter 13. Now the false prophet gets added. The Antichrist, the devil comes down. He inhabits the Antichrist. It gives him his seat authority. Now the false prophet adds himself. And it's the Trinity, the devil, the Antichrist, and the false prophet. Now watch what happens. The devil is like the type of the father. Antichrist is the son. False prophet is going to do lying signs and wonders. He's the demonstrator, like the Holy Ghost. The devil's counterfeiting. That's what's happening. He's going to have his 3.5 years of counterfeits. And the false prophet's going to get added to the equation. This has happened in the second 3.5 years. Verse 11, Revelation 13. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth. He had 2 horns like a lamb, but he spake as a dragon. This is speaking of the false prophet. And he exerciseth all power of the first beast before him, speaking of the Antichrist, and causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed, and he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of the miracles and the power which he performed. Now, isn't it amazing? He calls fire down. You know why? He was counterfeiting the witness of the two. He had to come up with a counterfeit because the whole world just watched those two get raised from the dead. So he comes on the scene and starts calling fire down on his own. He's on the second half. The two have gone up. Now watch what happens. Now they're going to introduce the infamous mark of the beast. How many of you ever heard that? Raise your hand. The mark of the beast, 666. This is when it's going to get introduced. The final 3.5 years, they're going to introduce that mark. You will not be able to buy or sell, and you'll be commanded to worship the beast with that mark. That's the choice you'll be given in the final 3.5 years. Now watch how this plays out. Revelation 13, verse 15. He said, had power to give life unto the image of the beast, and the image of the beast should both speak, and calls that as many would not worship the image of the beast should what? Be killed. So the image, you'd have to worship it. That's number one. Number two, he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark or the name of the beast and the number of his name. And it goes 666. That's going to be a mark either on your forehead or on your wrist. It's implemented the final 3.5 years. The false prophet helps the implementation of the mark of the beast. Two things are going to happen. You must give allegiance to the mark of the beast. You must worship him that sat in the temple and says, I am God. And secondly, you cannot buy, sell, or get gain. You cannot engage in commerce without it. Period. And they will enforce that mark for 3.5 years. He will enslave the nations and command them to worship. He's always wanted it, and he gets thrown down in the earth, and now he's going to force all of humanity to worship him through a mark. Now, here comes the 144,000 witnesses, God's chosen witnesses. He sealed them in the first half. He puts a mark on their forehead. Now something beautiful happens. In chapter 14 of Revelations, they stand on the mountain right after midway point. I'm just going to exhort it to you, what happens here. This is powerful. So they implement the mark of the beast. The 144,000 are also sealed. You can't hurt them. You can't kill them. They get sealed with God's seal. And they stand on Mount Zion with the Lord himself, standing on a mountain here. And the Lord appears to them in an eyewitness state. And he stands with all 144. He's getting them all ready. He's got 144,000 here. Okay? He's standing with them in an eyewitness state. And the heavens open. And John says, I looked and the heavens opened. So John, he's here and he looks up and all of a sudden he sees a heavenly choir and these angels and these harpists are singing. This is all Revelation 14. Don't go read it now. Just listen to me and then you can go read it. And they're standing there and they were given a song to learn that no man on the earth could learn it but them. It was a heavenly song they were given to learn with the Lord standing there with them. Is that powerful or what? They're given this beautiful heavenly song to learn, and the Lord's standing, he's getting ready for his final harvest of the great tribulation. The great tribulation. Final harvest. And he's standing there and they're learning this song. They're male Jews. They're virgin, 144,000, and they're getting ready for be commissioned. All of a sudden, Amplified will say this, says the three angels get loosed, one consecutive angel after another, and they start flying in the midst of the air. Your Bible might say midst of heaven, but the Amplified got it right. It says midst of the air. These angels start swirling around them on this mountain. The first one gets loosed, and he says he has the everlasting gospel to preach unto men. And this is where people said, well, the 144,000, they're in heaven, and the angels are going to preach the gospel. How dumb can you get and still breathe? Angels do not preach the gospel. These 144, this is a commissioning service. Look at it. Look at what's going on here. And they're swirling around with the everlasting. What did angels do? They proclaim. They're proclaiming to the 144. Here's the message you're going to preach. The everlasting gospel. You're going to preach the everlasting. The greatest harvest in all of creation is right now. Right now, the greatest harvest. I have the everlasting gospel, and they're going to preach it. And then a second one comes out and he begins to proclaim, Babylon is fallen, Babylon is fallen. Babylon had not failed yet. They're proclaiming it out of their flying in the midst of the air over these guys. And that's going to be one of their messages. You're going to proclaim, Babylon is fallen. It's going to fall in this 3.5 years. You're going to decree the fall of Babylon.
That was the second message. And the third angel comes out. Take not the mark of the beast. Take not the mark. Whosoever taketh the mark of the beast, he will suffer for eternity, forever and ever. That was their third message. That's the message they're going to the world with. It's a different. They're going with the gospel. But it's not, well, oh, you can choose it because Jesus loves you. Well, I think I'll wait. You don't get a chance to wait. Not in the final 3.5 years. That's their message. Get saved. You can't take that mark. Do you realize they only have one choice? Get saved and die. That's what it says in that very chapter right after the three angels. It says, here is the patience of the saints. Let's look at that. Go to chapter 14 real quick. I'll just tell it to you. Here is the patience of the saints. Here is the patience of the saints. Verse 12, what's it say? Blessed are the dead from die in the Lord from this time forth. That was the message. Do you hear that? Blessed are those because they're saying now, see, what's your choice with the mark of the beast is established? If you take the mark, there is no turning back. The angel declares it. The 144 are going to go and say, you cannot take that mark. We're sealed with the Father. Take the mark and you'll be forever tormented. So receive the Lord and blessed are those who die in the Lord from this time forward. Here's the deal. You're going to receive the Lord and you're going to die for your testimony. Because the Antichrist is not going to allow you to live. You're not going to be here. But there is going to be a harvest such as the world has never known. Go to Revelation 7. He calls the 144. He seals them and he lists the tribes from which they were sealed. Then he shows their harvest. Beautiful chapter right here. Their 144,000 have such a massive harvest. Incredible. Now, look at verse 9. And after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues stood before the throne, before the Lamb, clothed in white robes. Look at verse 13. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, what are these which are arrayed in white robes? And whence came they? And I said to him, sir, thou knowest. And he said unto me, he's asking, who are these people that are arrayed in white robes that are at the throne of God? Where'd they come from? The elder asked John, and John says, you know. And notice what he says. He said unto me, these are they which came out of the great tribulation. When you hear the word great tribulation, that's the final 3.5 years. Have washed their robes and made them white with the blood of the Lamb. These are the ones from every tongue, tribe, and nation that the 144,000 win. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that good? They get to minister right up to the end of Armageddon. The battle of Armageddon, Christ grabs the false prophet. I just want to show you that. Go to Revelation chapter 19. Chapter 16, I talked about the battle of Armageddon, but this is when they get thrown in. I just want you to see this. It's just too good to let you leave on this one. You just got to see this. I like their end. I want you to see their end. Revelation 19, and this is the battle of Armageddon right here. Armies of heaven following, verse 14. Now look at verse 19. This is the battle of Armageddon here, the consummation. It happens on the final day of the seven tribulation. It don't take him but one day, probably 1 hour. He'll be done in an hour. He'll sweep up in an hour. Verse 19, and I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. Verse 20, and the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet, the Antichrist and the false prophet, and wrought miracles before him, which he deceived them which had received the mark of the beast and them that worship his image. These both were cast alive into the lake burning with brimstone. Isn't that wow? God takes them alive, comes down on the battle of Armageddon, doesn't even slay them, just grabs them alive by the hands of angels probably and throws them into eternal lake of fire alive. Then the devil is bound for 1,000 years and he gets turned loose after that 1,000 years, and then God takes him and throws them in there with them.